You're listening to a 3CR podcast recorded in the 3CR Community Radio Studio in Melbourne, Australia. If you like what you hear, please consider donating or subscribing so we can keep bringing you more independent community content. For more information, go to 3cr.org.au.
Hi, I'm Kim Salmon. I'd like to have a quick word about public radio, particularly 3CR. The thing about public radio is that it's more open than the more formatted types of radio to what's going on around it. So when you listen to it, you're more likely to hear a reflection of real life. And 3CR, being in the heart of Smith Street, Collingwood, is a particularly good example of what I'm talking about. If you'd like to subscribe, the number is 94198377.
You've been listening to the sand. You could never understand. Feel the fortune flowing.
The world lies right beyond the handlebars of any bicycle that I happen to be on anywhere, from New York Bay to the Val de Chavez. Anywhere is high adventure. The walls come tumbling down. The cyclist is a loner. It is the only way for him to meet other loners. And it works. One seldom exchanges anything but curses or names of insurance companies with another driver. The car inhibits human contacts. The bicycle generates them. Bicycles talk to each other like dogs. They wag their wheels and tinkle their bells. The riders let their mounts mingle. That's from Daniel Bowman, the man who loved bicycles. And I can't get the road to nowhere to play, so Faith, good morning. I should put it.
Good morning, Val.
I'm just having a bit of trouble with the din set. Sorry about that. We are on the road to somewhere. Let's just think.
We're a bit earlier than expected.
We're a bit earlier.
That's okay.
We've got to say, first off, you're listening to 3CR, the Arabug radio show here on 3CR. Streaming, podcasting, or listening on that old AWA transistor in the kitchen. Look, a couple of things. Many thanks to Democracy Now!, who I think, if I'm correct, turned 30 this year. Nice little resemblance with Community Radio 3CR, which turns 50 this year in July. We've got a bit of a show coming up. We're going to talk about a couple of things. Maybe a little bit of Faith is just back from her annual... Is it annual tour of the Netherlands, Nelly?
Not quite.
Anyway, we're going to have a look at a couple of things, the differences and what's happening with cycling in the Netherlands. And look, we're going to touch on a couple of things. I know July this year is the official 50th birthday of 3CR, so we're going to have a little look back at 1976 and see what's going on at some stage. But first off, to get into that nitty-gritty of those lovely singular moments you have on a bicycle sometimes, or just interaction sometimes. Sometimes just wagging your wheel at another wheel. Sorry, that's a shocking pun. Faith, you got a bike moment to share with us. Sorry.
Well, there hasn't actually been much bike riding for the last 6 weeks, but before that, the last time I was really sort of riding anywhere was in the Netherlands. And we went to that bike garage in Utrecht at the station that we had seen when they first opened a portion years ago. But now the whole thing's open, and there's a video people have probably seen online where cyclists are riding on one level and through a glass wall. You see them descending from the level higher up, and they all merge. So we had that moment where we were cycling through, and as the wall adjacent to you became glass, you saw all these cyclists coming down to merge into the path you were on. And pretty special experience, yeah.
Sounds like bicycles made Blade Runner.
There's a little bit of that. But it's you know, when you think of a parking garage, it's not a pleasant place to ride through.
No.
And having that glass wall just really opens it up and means that those access points from different levels are much more open and less closed and tunnel-y.
Yeah. Very nice. Hey, listen, I'm going to talk about something that happened at Second Chance Cycles last week. We get a lot of international students or international people just come, young people just coming here for that 2 years or whatever. So we obviously get a lot of people who've never ridden a bicycle in Melbourne. So we had, I think the person was from Florence and very happy to get the bike. I asked her whether she'd, you know, ridden anywhere in Melbourne yet. And I thought, well, look, I'll just explain one thing that you probably haven't got in Florence. I'm not too sure whether you have, is roundabouts. So I was explaining to her that, look, when you go into a roundabout, if you don't make eye contact with that person on the left, coming to the left, don't go through it. And she goes, oh, man, does that work? So I explained that actually it's a bit of a trap that we all know about and we all adapt to it. And she said, and then the other thing I said to her was, look, the most common injury in Melbourne is a car dooring. So just try and keep enough away from the door zone to actually, you know, stay it safe. So I thought, oh, well, you know, get a little bit of advice. So the next day, Friday, I had to go, oh, it's only about 2 km away to get something. And riding up Bridge Road and, whoa, car door pops open straight in front of me. I've got to say, I think I was inside the zone, but actually I screamed out quick enough for it to not have any effect. And I continued on the ride. I went through 2 roundabouts. Everything was good. But I'm riding along a path. There's an angled bit of a parkway next to Citizens Park and Hyatt Street. And, of course, all those big cars there. And so they all have to reverse out of there. And 50 metres in front of me, a big four-wheel drive sort of half reverses about a yard and then stops. I think, oh, that's all right. So I kept riding, and then all of a sudden, bang, the person just really does reverse straight in front of me. I'm going, oh, I've gone 500 metres and I've had 2 close calls. I did my bit of shopping, rode home, and then I've got to say, I've been car doored twice, both from the passenger side. They're the only times I've ever been hit by a car in all the years, touch wood. But I was coming past a large liquor retailer, park car, part of the road, 50, 75 metres after the red light, so people are still accelerating. And a bloke popped the door open, and I mean, I was virtually alongside him, and there was a car on the outside of me. And it was one of the few times that I've been, I was genuinely shaking. I thought, there's 50 mils in that. Oh. I get half a K down the road, turn into Tudor Street to go home. Medium-sized Richmond Street, parking only on one side. Big four-wheel drive goes past me. And then 20 metres in front of me turns into a private drive. And the person drove past me, went out wide, and then just turned left. And I'm thinking, whether these things come in a spasm, that's 4 incidents in the matter of 10 minutes. I mean, I've never had anything happen like it before. It was like I was just going to go from one disaster zone to the other. I'm going to have to hit something. And I immediately thought about that poor person from Florence riding around Melbourne. I've had 4 incidences in 10 minutes, and I'm a little bit aware of things. I can just imagine what's going to happen there.
Well, you had had a long time without any. She yes. might be experiencing that.
Yeah, yeah. Like number 36 on the roulette wheels never come up. That's why I'm betting number 36. Look, we'll come back to that because the roundabout thing is a bit of a uniqueness here, not in the Netherlands, though. But, I mean, so we'll get back to it. When we talk about, we'll do a bit of news first, just for a start. Hey, good to see Macaulay Rhodes steppy up and separated bike lanes from that horrible bit from the top of the hill all the way off across the Mary Creek, Mooney Ponds Creek, I should say.
Well overdue. I think it's been in the works for a while. It's one of the many projects that have been held up. But good to see it moving on to the next phase.
Yep, and the typical problem, it's going to be a bit of a problem, that old bridge is not wide enough. Bugs, interesting to see how they get around that. I suspect they'll push the bikes back into the road and to get through the bridge. The other thing is, I'm just taking note of the level crossing replacement. I'm reading 2030 of completion. And what's that, seven? What are there, seven?
Eight.
Yeah.
Yeah, so for anyone who uses the upfield or might be doing so through Brunswick, there is information sessions on at the moment you can go to. If you've got questions about, they've released a little bit more detail about what they're planning to do. So, obviously they're going to separate cyclists and pedestrians because that's already established in that area. Yeah. That has to be done. But there's questions about, most of the roads that riders will have to cross are roads that cyclists and pedestrians should have priority over the car traffic, according to the Department of Transport's Movement and Place framework. But we know that LXRP is very nervous about doing that. And, one thing we don't want to see is a succession of traffic lights.
Yeah.
That prioritise the car movement some. And there's a couple of other little issues. So it's really worth going along to those information sessions. They're all listed. If you Google Brunswick Skyrail, you'll get the latest updates. Yep. And even if you haven't had a chance to look at them, go along because you can sort of riff off what other people are talking about and put your view forward and talk about the way you use it or your family. And, that the detours they're putting in place are terrible. They're considering the number of school students who rely on the upfield, they're not great detours. So that's also something that
they've got to detour everybody around all those spots. I didn't know.
2,500 people every day. So, yeah.
And what we're 4 or 5 years away, well, I'm taking 2030 as a.
Well, construction will start in 2028.
Yeah.
So. Probably 18 months away from starting to feel the detours and,
That was it, Macaulay Road, Brunswick. You got any other news on it?
Just briefly, the Great Ride of Return is being planned for the 29th of March. They do need some helpers, particularly on the ride itself. It's going to be timed to coincide with the Gaza Sunbirds ride. So if you can help out, you can find Great Ride of Return NAM on Instagram and DM them and let them know you're happy to help.
There we go. Get involved. We're going to be right back after this message.
Yarrabug would like to thank Bicycle Network for their financial support. Bicycle Network, a not-for-profit with 45,000 members, working to get more people riding for their health and well-being. Bicycle Network is proud to sponsor the Yarrabug program and support its important advocacy for safer and more accessible riding. By becoming a Bicycle Network member and or participating in one of their iconic riding events, you're supporting Bicycle Network's ride-to-school programs and advocacy campaigns to make it easier for everyone to ride a bike every day. Visit bicyclenetwork.com.au for more information.
Now, most people would know that actually we're coming up to subscription time at 3CR, and it's a special this year, obviously, because 3CR turns 50 in July. Just to know, your subscription helps us stay true to our community values. We are a not-for-profit community radio license holder, and a strong subscriber base is vital to our financial and editorial opinions. So don't be shy when the subscriber drive comes around. Give generously. Faith?
And
back to you.
Well, I was going to just touch on a few of the things we saw in the Netherlands. Whenever we go back to visit family, just try and check out some little projects I was aware of the last time we went, or things that have changed since we went or lived there and, you know, see what that throws up, which I think is interesting. And it's interesting you mentioned the Macaulay Road Project and the old bridge, because one thing that's starting to happen in the Netherlands is implementing 30K zones on local streets.
Yep.
Amsterdam have announced and started rolling that out gradually. Utrecht, which is very close to where family live, are going to be doing the same. And in the sort of satellite town that our family live in, they did 30Ks on local streets about 2 years ago, I think. So it was really interesting to see that had changed. And one reason it struck me is there is a road directly outside my in-law's house, quite a big road. I'm not sure it's an arterial. It might be a connector. But and it does, for a portion of it on either side, have protected bike lanes. Pretty narrow by Dutch standards.
Yeah.
But then there is a section in the middle where the suburban area built in the 70s and the suburban area built in the 80s has to pass through the older part of town.
Uh-huh.
And that, so the road narrows and there is an old bridge.
Yep.
That cannot accommodate two cars of traffic, footpath, bike lanes.
Yep.
So, and it's always been a road that always struck me whenever we've used it. So there's a couple of hundred metres where instead of a protected bike lane, you move into a painted lane, very narrow, 30 or 40 centimetres, and dashed, which means that when cars are negotiating oncoming traffic, they can move in and out of it. So, and it's traditionally always had a 50K speed limit. So that was just one road that's always been in my mind. I never enjoyed riding through that section because cars are very focused on getting to the next arterial, and you're suddenly in this very narrow space next to impatient traffic. So it was, when we got there this time, the speed limit on that section has been lowered to 30.
Yep.
And I looked up the Crow manual and it's the same as off-roads now. If you, or not off-roads, but the Victorian standards, where if you have a road with a certain volume of traffic and you cannot provide separation for cyclists, you can do a 30K speed limit. So that's why it's been done. Maybe that's what will happen at Macaulay Road.
Right, yeah.
But it struck me as something that, you know, it's that pragmatism the Dutch are famous for.
Yeah.
But what I often see in Australia, and I think in the States too, is people focus very much on the ideal Dutch infrastructure.
Yep.
And gloss over all the very pragmatic decisions that are made to make that happen.
Yep.
And tend to elevate things to a level that is unrealistic. Like I hear people, even things like, you would never see a car parked in the bike lane in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, constantly parked in the bike lane. you would never see a truck parked in the, you know, all these things.
Yeah.
That, like, we're kind of setting ourselves an impossible standard because it's not actually achieved anywhere. And it, you know, you can have an environment that supports reasonably safe getting around by bike without attaining this unrealistic bar.
Perfection can sometimes be the ban on progress.
Well, and it's, I think that's what the Dutch are famous for, that pragmatism, you know. This will work for now, and maybe at some stage someone's going to find a couple
Learn
of million dollars
easier.
To... But, it, you know, that really struck me about it. And that sort of, I guess because I'd been aware of that, I do worry. I hear people say a lot of things here about how things are done in the Netherlands that I know is not true.
Not true. No.
And I guess because that had been on my mind, that's what was leaping out at me.
Yeah.
And, you know, the car park at Utrecht station is amazing.
Yep.
It's an area that for at least 10 years we haven't been out. Like, there's been detours in place to get you around the area.
Yeah.
Because of the development there. And that's also another thing that strikes me when people say, well, the detours for cyclists aren't very good. Well, these detours were horrible.
Yeah.
You know, they were... there's just constraints about trying to get that volume of people through that space.
Yeah.
The garage is very good. It works really well in that context and for dissipating people into the centre of Utrecht.
And it relies on a really good public transport system that people use, don't have any compunction about using it.
Yeah.
So it is a very pragmatic thing. It's very Dutch orientated. This is the way we get around.
Yeah. I mean, it's... You know, increasing – the Dutch have always been – there's a lot of car transport. Everyone has a car.
Yep.
Most people use it for some trips. And that is starting to be a bit more constrained than in the past just because of the space. But, there's a lot of really good stuff that, you know, can show how well things can work.
Yeah.
But there's also some really good examples of the pragmatism. There are – endless shopping strips who have resisted protected by removing parking for over 20 years.
Yep.
And the pragmatic ways they try and get around that.
Yeah.
But it's not that everything just happens exactly the way it should in the manual or the book.
And Amsterdam is not the whole of the Netherlands, obviously.
Well, Amsterdam's a good example. I lived in the heart of Amsterdam in between two major shopping strips, a bit like Smith Street and Brunswick Street, Sydney Road and Ligon Street. Both those streets were earmarked 26 years ago to have protected bike lanes.
Yep.
One of them does because the whole street was shut down for a big development. The other one still doesn't because the traders don't want it. So, you know, it's even Amsterdam isn't the Amsterdam that lives in people's heads.
This is I don't want to get too diverted off this. Can we just touch on one thing? Were they having a bit of a problem with the overhyped up electric bikes as well?
So the Dutch have had a very long-standing problem. They're called fat bikes there.
Yeah.
Much longer than we have because...
You've
been able to buy them for a good... They were a problem 15 years ago in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
They confiscate and destroy 10,000 a year.
Yeah.
And now, because of those, many towns are banning electric bikes within their city centres. And some are not discriminating between types of electric bikes.
Yeah.
Others are saying, well, it will only be those.
Yeah.
And just like here, they're often illegal to ride.
Yep.
But it's a major, it's constant policing.
Yeah.
And they're very easy to get. Obviously, it's easier when you have land borders and, young kids are riding those. There's a generation now who've only ever ridden electric bikes. So.
Yeah. Something to look forward to. Well, that's a good wrap. They're not. we're always very positive about this stuff, which is good. We get better. We all know that. And that is, it's one of those, I'm going to call it a myth or whatever, that, you know, the white bike thing in Amsterdam never actually happened, you know. So, but so there's this whole mythology built around the whole thing. Hey, listen, I know you can't remember 1976, or can you?
Of course I can.
Look, I'm going to do a couple of things just to go on to talk about what was happening in 1976 in Melbourne. 3UZ, 3DB, 3KZ, 3XY, 3AW, 3AK, and the ABC 2 station, 3LO and 3AR. They were the radio stations pre the opening up of the licences. And then after that we get, 3MP, 3RRR, 3CR, and ABC Classic FM didn't start until then.
PBS.
PBS. So the thing is, well, PBS was an amalgamation of a couple of other stations, which was interesting. Look, I'm going through that because it was just so interesting that that was the landscape, and then the next year with everything else that changed, which was really interesting. Now, I know you're going to ask me, what were the biggest selling bikes in 1976? So Malvern Star was still the biggest, and
mine was Malvern Star.
Manufactured in Australia. I think I had a Hallmark, actually, which was one of the competitors. So it was interesting. A lot of most of the Malvern Stars are manufactured here. And with a couple of other local brands, I'm talking about usually Swift, Sprite, Ashby were a couple of the local ones that were still getting manufactured here. And the Rally Boxer was one of the biggest sellers. Now, it was sort of like the genesis of the chopper that was to come. So that three-speed sort of mid-juvenile bike. And actually, that's the lead-up to actually the BMX craze that starts about 5 or 6 years later. Interesting, though, the years when Peugeot and Puch, the Austrian bicycle maker, started to export bikes to Australia. So a lot of those bikes come from that mid-70s period, which was really interesting. What else did I have there? So just a note on this. Ford was still president in America. Jimmy Carter was going to win the election in 1976, takes over in 1977, of course. So we're still 2 years away from the oil shock. So we're 2 years away from seeing that huge boom in what we all now call steel 10-speed bikes. So we're a little bit just before that sort of period, which was really interesting. We're going to get a real boom in commuting in towards that late 70s. Quite fascinating. It was something like 800,000 bicycles sold in Australia that year. The I had to look back at this. There was random breath testing started in 1976. The great bookie robbery happened here in Melbourne in 1976. Jimmy Carter becomes president. Cigarette advertising was banned in 1976, so we started then. Chairman Mao died in 1976. Paddy Hearst was sentenced to 7 years for her part in holding up the bank in Sacramento. And Rupert Hamer was re-elected as Premier of Victoria. An interesting time.
And just on the cusp of more interesting times.
Like yes.
It was,
so there was a big change. I should say Vietnam was consolidated in 1976, as we know. There was a lot of the other thing that was highlighted about it, the continual demonstrations against John Kerr from Perth to Melbourne to Sydney. He couldn't drive anywhere without his car getting pelted with eggs and tomatoes. It was really that there was a real angst towards the Governor General in 1976. I'm not 100% sure. I think it was the next year he retired. But a fascinating period. Look, I think that's about all we've got time for.
Yep.
Next up, we'll be back in 2 weeks' time.
Yep. Next up is
Lost in Science, which will be always interesting. Used to love that show. Oh, no, that was Lost in Space. And we'll catch up then. Take care, Faith.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast. If you found it valuable, please consider donating or subscribing to support independent community radio. To find out more, go to 3cr.org.au.